two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome into another Jazz Notes podcast. My name is Cleon Wall, and joining me here today is Jeremiah Jensen, the host of Sports Beat all the time. It's not just Sports Beat Saturday or Sunday.
Oh, no, no, no.
We're just going to call it Sports Beat all the
24/7. Time. 24/7. The beat goes on and on and on. It never stops. Kind of like the Jazz train right now.
Yeah, exactly.
All aboard.
Exactly. What were they? 5-game winning streak right
yeah.
now? They're looking really good.
Yeah.
Granted, I understand. If there was one game that kind of worried me during this stretch, I guess early on you would have said the game against the Lakers mm-hmm. because you expected LeBron to play in that game, but then, you know, LeBron didn't show up. And then I'd say after that it was probably, I'd probably say this Clippers game because 5 games at home. Head back out on the road. How are they going to do? Clippers have actually played pretty good this season. Mm-hmm. I know they're in a little bit of a lull, but Clippers have played pretty good this season. But they go in there and they just thrash the Clippers. Good
impressive.
First quarter, slow second quarter, and then pretty much dominated from there after the start of the second quarter.
Yeah, what they did there, you know, yeah, like you said, there was a bit of a slow start early. But, man, once they got things going offensively, the defense was just so good. And Rudy Gobert right now, I'm trying to describe or think of someone who's been as dominant defensively as he's been.
I should just give you the floor right now because you have been as high on Rudy Gobert as anyone else. And I'm not meaning that in a bad
yeah.
way. I'm just saying you've always been, when we've talked about, hey, who do you think the best player is or who do you think the MVP is? And it always seems like you come back to Rudy Gobert for all the things he can do. And these last couple of games, he really has. I mean, say what you want about Donovan. It's almost like they're co-MVPs right now.
Yeah.
Rudy's game, though, has improved so much offensively. You get it anywhere near him, and he's going to go up, and he's actually going to make a decent play. Sometimes he looks a little clumsy out there near the basket on the offensive end, but he's improved so much on the offensive end. You've got to wonder, is he an all-star? I would say yes, but there are so many guys in the Western Conference right now that could be considered all-stars in the front court. I'm sorry. You know what? I'm just turning the time over to Jeremiah.
No.
He can not the whole time. Just I'm giving him the platform to speak about how great Rudy Gobert is right now.
He's incredible. I mean, so he had a 20-20-4 game last night. So only one player in Jazz history has had 20 points, 20 rebounds, and 4 blocks in a game. I bet you could guess who that is. It's Karl Malone. So only one other player in team history has had back-to-back games with 20 or more rebounds. Again, it's Karl Malone. So we're talking about the greatest player in franchise history. We're talking about a Hall of Famer. We're talking about, in my opinion, the greatest power forward of all time. You know, you can go have your Tim Duncan debate, and Tim Duncan's a center. That's just a fact. So we'll save that for another show, though. But Rudy Gobert is doing things that only Karl Malone has done. So that's how we need to think of how good he's playing right now. He's doing things at that level. And he's starting to do them consistently. He's been so consistent on the defensive end that we don't even notice it anymore. It's just expected. You just, okay, everything's fine. So Rudy's going to take care of everything there. Now this team just needs to get it off its offense going. Or Rudy's going to take everything there. So if we acquire somebody who's not really good defensively in the backcourt, then he'll make up for their sins. So we bring in Kyle Korver so we can bring him some shooting, and people wonder, well, how is he going to do defensively? Well, it doesn't matter because Rudy will take care of that. You see what I'm saying
yeah,
now?
No, I understand.
So Rudy's going to take care of everything. Or Rudy's this. Or Rudy's that. Oh, Rudy's fine. We don't talk about we talk about Donovan Mitchell's sensational, you know, switching the hands, layup at the hoop, and going in, and the 30-point games, and all these things, and the incredible dunks, which is awesome, which is great. We don't talk enough about what Rudy Gobert is doing right now. Rudy Gobert deserves to be an all-star this year. And that's, we could spend a whole show on this, debating the Western Conference all-stars, because it's going to be tough. What do you got, 12 guys?
Yeah.
And you got to pick 12? I mean, there's so many great players, and somebody like Rudy might get left out. If Rudy gets left out, I mean, that's a bummer, because what he's doing stuff that not many players in the league do right now. And I was trying to go back and trying to think of a comp in the NBA in the past to him, and I'm struggling to find it. Somebody that blocked shots like that, protected the rim like that, but also had such a great impact offensively, and also passed the ball well, and also had the intangibles of his toughness and his leadership and a tenacity and a drive to want to be great. He has all these things. It's rare, but I don't think
there is enough comparison.
There may not be.
Yeah.
He may be that unique of a player in the NBA. I mean, you're always looking for the next best this or that. The Jazz fans get to enjoy the first Rudy Gobert. And he's great, and he's going to be great here for a long time.
You know, you're right. I don't think we give enough credit to him, at least offensively. I've said a long time, and I still believe this. You know, Rudy's going to struggle offensively just because he can't create his own shot. But the skill set he has right now is so important, because the Jazz don't have that in any other player on the floor. He is so unique. 7 of 10 last night. Here's the other thing. I know his shooting percentage at the free throw line isn't what it is last night, but he was 9 of 10 last night.
That's incredible. You know all the big men in the league who get fouled on purpose late in games? I mean, DeAndre Jordan, Shaq used to be that way. You can't do that with Rudy Gobert. Think about the impact that has on the Utah Jazz, that Rudy can stay on the floor at any time in the game because he can shoot free throws at that kind of rate. He's a 70% free throw shooter, right? I need to look up his percentage. I don't have exact right in front of me.
I'll get it for you.
90% last night? I mean, when you have a guy like that that you can trust in those situations to go up there and knock down some free throws, that's enormous.
He's only shooting right now 65%.
Okay, it was close. I was 70.
Yeah, 65.
It's in that range.
But yeah, I mean, if you go through his free throw makes in the last few games, let's just go to the last five games, because that's what I have up right now. 9 of 10, 6 of 8, 5 of 9, a little down against Chicago, 4 of 8, not so good, but against Orlando, he was 4 of 4. Granted, his points were also down in that game, too. But again, he brings so many different things to this team. You have to take account for him on the defensive end, because of how the Jazz's game plan is, especially with the lob right now. You have to take that into account. And so, in reality, they're really defenses are now trying to drop off and making sure that he doesn't get that lob right now. They're trying to push him out as much as possible.
Here's another thing he does for the Jazz offense. Screen assists. That's a stat the league keeps. He's one of the best in the league. He's one of the best screeners in the league. He creates opportunities for guys with the ability he has to screen so well. That's one thing that you just don't even think about, right? You're watching a game, and you're not thinking about you're not watching the pick on the pick and roll. You're watching the end result. But take a moment to watch how good of a screener he is and the space he creates because he's able to do it so well.
Do you think – let's go back to the All-Star debate here really quickly. Is there enough love out there from the NBA coaches that he will make this team?
Yes. Is there enough love from the coaches to put him in over some of the other guys that are under consideration? We'll find out. It's going to be tough.
No, I know.
You start going through the list. There's
because
some really good players.
Because now it's just backcourt and frontcourt. They don't do this
correct.
Whole
there's
center,
no,
nope. point guard thing.
Yep.
It's backcourt,
frontcourt. Yeah, and he's not going to get voted in by the fans. And there may be some players voted in that don't deserve to be there, which would be very disappointing. So that's going to take some spots away from guys that do deserve to be there. And it could push somebody like Rudy out. So he's not going to make it on the fan vote. So then that means there's 7 spots for whoever doesn't get in on the fan vote. And I don't know if you can pull up the fan vote while I'm talking right now, but it's going to be 7 guys. And so you look around the league and there's some really, really good players. Sorry, I shouldn't say the league, in the Western Conference, because that's what we're focused on right now. Somebody like Nikola Jokic in Denver is having a phenomenal season. He's got to make the All-Star team, right? But that's another front-court player.
Correct.
That didn't make it last year that's going to get in this year. Who are some other guys in the front court? Is Draymond Green getting in this year? I don't know. You know KD's making it. You know LeBron's getting in as a front court player. You know Anthony Davis is getting in as a front court. Who's the top?
Okay, number one is LeBron. That's
so
a
LeBron's. Okay.
Luka Doncic is number two.
So Luka's going to take a spot away from somebody.
Paul George is number three right now.
Okay.
And Paul George is having a phenomenal season. The one thing you could kind of say, and this probably won't happen, but Paul George could play guard too. So you can kind of flip him, flop him there.
Where did they have him listed as front court or back court?
Have him listed as a front court player,
so
as a forward.
And that takes a spot away from
Kevin
another
Durant,
front court player.
Anthony Davis. Here's another guy. You mentioned Jokic, who is having a phenomenal season. And he probably deserves to be on there. But another guy who's close is Steven Adams with Oklahoma City. He is tremendous
as
a center. He has that same impact that Rudy does.
He does a lot of the little things maybe you don't notice.
Exactly.
But then you look down at his box score, and he's got 20 and 15 or something like that. He puts up crazy numbers.
It's so hard right now.
For a guy of that size and that position.
Sadly, I mean, this guy's not going to make it in on the fan vote, and he's not going to make it in at all. And that's I still laugh that DeMarcus Cousins is number 10 on the NBA front court. But we're not going to go into
we could
that
do
right
a whole
now.
Show on why fans shouldn't be allowed to vote. Yeah. Sorry, fans. Yeah. You're not getting it right often enough.
And even here in Salt Lake City, I mean, they're trying to pump it up. You know, you see the billboards, and they're saying, vote for Rudy. Vote for Donovan.
Yeah.
And I sit there and go, Donovan really doesn't deserve to be in the game. I know you want to do it just for the fan vote, but Donovan, it's just like the guards. We talked about this last time. We talked about the fan voting. Derrick Rose right now is number two in voting
That's what
for
I'm talking
guards.
About. How does he get it? I mean, that's...
Yeah.
It's great that he's made a comeback and he's found a place and all that kind of. That's a great story. But is he an all-star? Absolutely not.
Is it a negative thing if Rudy does not become an all-star this year? I know he probably deserves to be an all-star, but is it a bad thing if he's not an all-star? Do you think that he's a guy that I don't think looks for slights, but that's probably one thing that he would say to himself. You know
what?
I'm not an all-star. You know, this could kind of propel me into being a better player in the second half of the season.
Rudy is always looking for motivation, and if that would be a pretty big slight, not making an all-star team with the impact he's having this year. And we haven't mentioned Rudy's been healthy this year, which he hasn't always been able to do. He's always had something happen where somebody runs into his knee or something. So this year he's been on the court just about every game. And he's putting up the numbers he's doing, and he's really helping this team get to the point now where they're back in the playoff race. He deserves to be in. If he's not voted in, I think he has a legitimate gripe and reason to be upset about that. But if you're a Jazz fan, you look at this, okay, we love Rudy when Rudy feels like he's got a chip on his shoulder, feels like he's got something to prove. We love angry Rudy, right? Because then he goes out there and he annihilates people. Like, he's always looking for a little thing. So a quick Rudy story is the Clippers broadcast team a week ago or so, they were having a discussion on their air on a game, and they didn't mention Rudy as a defensive player of the year guy or one of the best defensive players even in the league. And so somebody told him, I think it was David Locke actually, made sure that he knew that. And, you know, does he pay attention to that? I don't know. Well, we find out after last night's game that he does, because he tweeted out that maybe I wish I had the tweet in front of me. I'm not adequately prepared today with all the stuff that's coming off the top of my head with this, but he notices those things. And that's just a little thing where some guys on a broadcast team for a game didn't recognize him. And so the next time he goes out and plays that team, he does what he did last night. And would he have done that even without that? Maybe, probably. But there's that added motivation and that psyche that he has, that I'm going to go out and I'm going to prove people wrong. He's been doing that his entire career, even going all the way back to when he was growing up in France. So he has that mentality. You don't want him to lose that chip. You don't want him to lose that attitude and that feeling that people don't think I'm good enough. Because you always want him to be motivated and to be pushing himself. You don't want him to get complacent. So he deserves to be. It would be a shame if he doesn't. But if you're a Jazz fan and you want to watch angry Rudy destroy the league after the All-Star voting is complete and just go scorched earth on everybody defensively, then we'll see what happens. But, it would be unfortunate if he doesn't make it.
We've gushed a lot about Donovan on this podcast just recently because of how well he's played during this five-game winning streak, and even a little bit before that, too. Last night, didn't shoot well from the outside, at least three-point line. He's 0 for 5. But he makes all of his free throws, 8 for 8 from the free throw line. Yes, he's only 10 of 22 from the floor, but he ends up with 28 points on the night. It's almost becoming commonplace now for him to put up 25-plus points as the de facto point guard, And not only that, he had another 6 assists last night.
Yeah.
We don't need to go long into this, but all I have to say is I am continually impressed with Donovan Mitchell and how his game is evolving right now and how he's just able to be the kind of guy who he wants to be and be the kind of guy the Jazz need him to be right now.
He has flipped the switch, and we are seeing the Donovan Mitchell we thought we were going to see from the start of the year. I don't know why there was a slow start. I don't know why he was playing inefficiently offensively. I don't know why he was taking certain shots that weren't good shots. Maybe it's just all part of the process, but whatever happened, he's here now, and he's doing what he is now, and I'm sure he learned a lot of things from all that, and it's made him a better player. The other thing that's made him a better player is he's now been forced into a situation where he has to be a playmaker with the pass, where earlier in the year he didn't have to be because the point guards were there, and you had Rubio and Donovan, and even Raul Neto when he was needed. Now there's no point guards here, so Donovan, you got to step up. You got to be able to do this, and you mentioned the assists. The assist numbers are up. He's making great plays. He's making great reads. He's kind of turned a corner with all that part of his game, because I think that was one of the things that he really needed to master, was making the right reads. And Quinn talked about all the time is that was things he needed to get done. Like, he needs to see, okay, here's the situation. I need to do this and this and this instead of this. And that all comes through film study. And he's done that work, and he's put in that time. And now he's being rewarded for it. And he's been put in a situation where it was needed, and he had to step up for his team, and he's done it. And it's made him a better basketball player. And you're seeing that right now. I mean, he looks like a point guard right now, which is a compliment to him that he's been able to improve that part of his game so much. Last year in the playoffs, he was put in that position. I think that was an extension of what we saw earlier, from this, that because he was thrown in that situation against Houston in that series, now he's thrown in it again, and he learned from that experience, and it's made him a better player. So we're seeing this continual evolution of Donovan Mitchell, and he continues to prove to us that he can do things that we didn't think he could do. And he's putting up those numbers, and it's too bad he wasn't doing this for the last couple months, because then we would have this conversation about whether or not he should be in the All-Star game.
He hasn't been as efficient shooter as the past two games, but again, he's still shooting better than what we saw him early in the season. Speaking of better shooting, Jay Crowder against the Clippers, thank heavens he finally broke out. He made 5 3-pointers in the game against the Clippers, scored 23 points. Good Jay came to play, and that's encouraging. He is a very streaky player right now. I don't think he's going to stray away from being a streaky player the rest of this season. But
he's always kind of been that way, which is okay, because you don't expect him to carry your team. You don't expect him to put up the numbers all the time. And there's things he can do when he's not scoring that helps you win games. So you're okay with that, I guess, because sometimes you're going to benefit from that streak like you did last night.
Exactly. All right. And coming up against the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's right. It is Star Wars night at the arena. I'm a big Star Wars fan, Jeremiah.
Clearly. You had that one ready to go.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. And so the reason I wanted to bring up Star Wars night, because just like last year, granted, the team they're playing is not, like the Empire or anything like that. That's the Golden State Warriors. The Cleveland Cavaliers, not that good. But here's what I will say. I still think the Jazz are a plucky band of rebels who are trying to take down the Empire. You kind of notice that. We noticed that last season. They're kind of still that way this season. And I will have to say that, are you a little nervous about this game, Jeremiah?
Nope.
Nope. Hear me out. Okay. I mean, look who's coming up after the Jazz play the Cavaliers, okay? After the Jazz play the Cavs, they're going to play the Trailblazers on Monday, the Nuggets on Wednesday. Granted, all home games. They're going to play the T-Wolves next Friday, but then back at the T-Wolves the following Sunday, and then they play at the Trailblazers on Wednesday the 30th. So my question is,
it's a trap.
Yes, Admiral Akbar had to come. Is this a trap game for the Utah Jazz?
It absolutely is. I will agree on that. Do I think they're going to lose the trap game? I do not. I think that it could be a little rough, though. The Cavaliers are a team that they've had some nice wins actually this year, and there's some games that they blew that they should have won, but they had a big leads against good teams. I think recently it was New Orleans. They had a big 20-point lead or something. So they're a team that can go out there and play. Plus, you have the added aspect of Rodney Hood and Alec Burks being out there. They're going to be excited to come back and play, and they're going to want to play well against their buddies. So, the Cleveland Cavaliers could give the Jazz a game, but the Jazz are in such a groove right now, and the Jazz are so focused right now, and I think they have the same edge that they had to have last year, where they know that they had that rough schedule, they got to make up some ground. So they got to be locked in and focused on these games right now. I mean, the amount of preparation that they put into that Clippers game the other night, I mean, it was a playoff-level preparation. I mean, they were so locked in that game. Didn't have the usual ups and downs that you see a Jazz team have in a game. I think even for a Cleveland game like this, they see the schedule that you mentioned. And that's next week is so huge because those are divisional opponents. You can win the series against the Blazers. You want to beat Denver. You want to show that you can beat the second-best team in the West, according to record right now. Minnesota, you want to win those games against Minnesota. You don't want to lose that series either. So next week is huge, so I will agree with you that Cleveland's a trap game, but there's no way they're losing that game.
Three interesting matchups coming up after the Cleveland game for the Jazz. The Blazers, Nuggets, and Wolves. Interesting matchups in the center position. You've got three good centers right now. You can say what you want about Yusuf Nurkic up with the Portland Trail Blazers.
He's formidable.
But he's not a big schlub out there.
No, he's not.
He actually is a pretty darn good player. Yes, he plays third fiddle to Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, but he's a good player. Then you get Nikola Jokic. Mm-hmm. That's going to be fascinating to watch Rudy go up against him. And then you get Karl Anthony Towns, who's a different cat. Get it?
Got
get
it. Yeah. That's well
a different
done.
Cat altogether. So it's going to be fun to see them these next few games. Divisional foes. Can the Jazz make up some ground? And actually, so I think the game I'm most interested in, and I think most Jazz fans would be interested in, is the Denver game.
Yes.
Just because they have led the Western Conference for so long this season, and they've done it so well, I can't even speak right now. So I think this next week is important. I think it could be a trap game. This one's hard because once they get past this game too, you get 2 days off before you take on Portland on Martin Luther King Day. So I think that you've got to prevent against that. You've got to come home and you've got to have a good game. If they could get out to a huge lead, wouldn't it be nice to see some of the bench guys get a little bit more playing time and see some of the starters, you know, get some rest?
I want to see more Naz Mitru-Long. I want to see George Niang out there and have some more blocks. I want to see that. I want to see
Grayson Allen.
I want to see Tyler Cavanaugh in a game.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, we want to see a little bit more of that.
Okay. That's the time to do that.
To finish off, I thought if you had to equate any Jazz players as Star Wars characters, you got any in mind? I've got some in mind, but okay, so I'm going to go Donovan Mitchell. He's Luke. He's the young guy.
Sure.
He's kind of the up and comer.
He's the Jedi.
I'm going to say that Rudy Gobert. He's definitely your Darth Vader.
No, I am your father.
Especially playing against the Clippers last night.
I mean,
he was telling everyone he's their daddy with how well he played defense. Anyone for you that you
okay,
can
so
with?
Do we have to go Derek Favors as Chewbacca?
Oh, wow. I was going to go Jay Crowder. It has nothing to do with the hair either.
Okay.
Just because I wouldn't want to mess with Jay Crowder. But that's me.
Joe Ingles is obviously Han Solo.
Right? Yay!
Okay.
I agree with you.
Do we agree on that? Yoda is Quinn Snyder.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Okay.
That's perfect. Anyone else?
Trying to go through the list of guys here that would match Star Wars characters.
My last one, Howl Neto Ajawa.
Ootini!
That's not because I think he looks like a Jawa. It's just because I had that sound bite and I needed to play it and I had to pick a player. So there you go, Howl
Neto.
Well,
if I went Howl Neto, I'd go totally 80s and go Teen Wolf, but that's just me. Sorry, that's not Star Wars, so it doesn't really apply, but...
That doesn't count.
Still funny.
So do you think he looks like Michael J. Fox? No, I'm just teasing with
you. I think he looks like Teen Wolf. Wolf out.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Jazz Notes podcast. Thanks for downloading, listening. Make sure you give us a rating. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. You can also, of course, listen to us on the KSL News Radio app. Jeremiah Jensen, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Maybe we'll have it. I'm planning on going to the game on Monday.
I'll be here Monday.
Okay.
Let's do it on Monday.
After the game Monday, coming up on Tuesday, you'll hear from us again. See how the Jazz play against the Trailblazers. Also preview Jazz playing the Nuggets coming up on Wednesday. Thanks again. Hope you have a great weekend, and go Star Wars. May the Force be with you.